All right, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And as I said, this is episode 123. Actually, I think I said that at the top of the video feed. So if you're only listening, then I'm now saying it for the first time. Either way, this is episode 123 on this fine Sunday in February. All right, we've got lots of stuff to get into today. I know we missed a couple weeks, and I'll explain that. But before I get into that, we always like to kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, before episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That is our official Facebook page. Make sure you go and join that page, like the things. I don't know what Facebook calls it now. You don't friend it. You got to go like the page. Anyway, all kinds of good info on there if you are a Facebook user. And of course, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, or you can type in @gotellittothewall, all one word, and you're going to find our channel up there. That features not only our video feeds for all of our episodes, but all kinds of other clips, as well as our Mental Health Mondays and our album reviews and parenting and beer reviews and all that great stuff is all up there on youtube.com/gotellittothewall. And then, of course, my own personal Instagram account, if you're interested in some photo content. I was about to trip over photography. Some photo content, then definitely check out my own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, 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 right there on Instagram. You're going to get photos from a lot of the show recaps that we talk about and that good stuff. So if you are an Instagram user, make sure you go ahead and follow my own personal Instagram account there on Instagram. How many times can I say Instagram over the course of one sentence? We'll have to go back and count that after I am, or before I upload this episode. All right, and in addition to all those things I just mentioned, we have our official website, which is SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's right, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. Bookmark it. Check back often. You're going to find links to those social platforms that I just mentioned. So if you remember nothing else, remember our website. And you're also going to find a link to our Patreon campaign. If you want to support us financially, that is one of the best ways to do so. It keeps new things coming into the studio, keeps the studio running. Every little dollar helps. So please, if you have the means to do so and you want to, Patreon's a good way. If you don't want to get involved with Patreon, you can also support us financially by picking up some official Go Tell It to the Wall merch on our merch website, links directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. And don't forget, there is exclusive content that goes onto the website that does not run through all of our social sites. So that is one of the most important things to bookmark and check back often and keep track of. All right, like I said, I know we missed a couple weeks there. Really, no good reason. It was just some scheduling conflicts, and then unless you live under a rock or in a different country, you know that last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. I had a yard full of people. I had intended to invite like a couple people, and then my wife kind of ran with it, and then my boss at the creative agency kind of ran with it, and suddenly I had quite a few people in my yard as well as in my house, and that included quite a few children. So I didn't actually get to watch much of the Super Bowl. I did get to watch the end, but I found myself behind a grill and a Blackstone for most of the afternoon and evening there, cooking a bunch of food for all the people here, which I had a blast. It was a lot of fun, but was definitely short on time to get into the studio, and then I was just exhausted on Monday, so we weren't going to pull one of those special Monday editions of Common Sense Sunday. Good old Super Bowl. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it when we get to parenting, but like I said, I did not get to watch much of it at all. I have a TV outside, fortunately, but it's not quite close enough to the grill because it's kind of under a deck overhang, and you don't want to grill under or inside of things. It's not healthy. So I missed most of it, but still had a blast hanging out with people and catching at least a little bit of the game. It's an American pastime here. I know people in other countries, and in other countries people watch it, but it really is. Even people that aren't fans of football tend to watch the Super Bowl, whether it's for the commercials, the halftime show, or just the food. Personally, I enjoy watching football. I enjoy food even more. So that is always the highlight of my Super Bowl Sunday. All right, now that that's out of the way, let's get into our digital trends. These are things happening over the past couple weeks that I found interesting, ridiculous, or common sense worthy. One of those would be this trend that I found, which I believe is a TikTok trend, and I think it's been around for a little while, and then it started to catch fire once again. And I don't even know how to fully explain it, but people, and nothing against the state itself. It looks like this originated in Texas. And this is people pulling up to a gas station pump in their very large truck, you know, pickup truck. They go inside, and they're filming all this while they do it. They go inside, they purchase a slushie or a Slurpee, wherever it might be, because, you know, Slurpee, that's only 7-Elevens. I'm very much in favor of brand differentiation, so a slushie kind of covers a lot more than Slurpee does. See, here in California, we tend to say Slurpee because there's so many 7-Elevens, but there's plenty of other convenience stores out there that sell these slushy things. Anyway, people are buying these slushies. They then walk out. Again, they're filming this whole thing. They take the slushie and then chuck it at their truck. I'm sure people are doing it with cars too, but everything I've seen is trucks. For some reason, that's the popular thing to do. And then they laugh about it. So they have not only wasted the couple dollars that it cost to get a slushie, they have messed up their truck. And for some reason, this became a trend. Of course, it's a TikTok situation where people get on TikTok and they just do ridiculously stupid things. And you may say, well, that's harmless, Sean. They're simply throwing something at their own truck. Well, yeah, okay, yes. You might think it's harmless. It is their own truck. But it is imagine the food waste that's going on here. Now, granted, I realize a slushie is not really food. It's just kind of sugar and ice. Nonetheless, it isn't only affecting them, because keep in mind, they're throwing it at their truck, but it's not contained to their truck. The cups go flying, slushy stuff goes flying everywhere. Somebody that works at that convenience store or that gas station is then going to have to go out and clean it up. So this is not completely harmless, and on top of the fact that it is utterly stupid and ridiculous, because why are you throwing things at your own truck? The funny thing is, these same people that are doing this and filming it, if somebody else threw a slushie at their truck, they'd probably be real upset, pull a gun, start throwing punches, who knows what? So let's do better. As a society, we need to realize there's no point in wasting a slushie. There's no point in making a giant mess for somebody else to clean up simply to get some clicks on a dumb video. I constantly wonder who comes up with these trends. And I actually did read an article. They did trace this one back, the first guy to do it. And there was like a quick blurb from him saying, I don't understand why people are now still running with this thing. It was just a dumb thing that I did. But that's the world we live in now, Wall fans, is dumb things become trends, and then everyone films them, and then we're stuck watching idiots throw things at their own trucks. All right, another trend that just actually has been happening over the past couple days, apparently, and you'll find it all over the social platforms right now, apparently in New York outside of Trump Tower right now, a lot of people are holding up signs that say going out of business sale. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into positive news, but it is based on yet another verdict. A civil verdict that was dropped on the Orange Menace over the past week, and people are really taking to it, and it is quite hilarious because it's very much the same kind of signs that you would see outside of a retail store that's going out of business, except that they're standing out in front of Trump Tower, because clearly, once we get to positive news, I don't know how much longer the guy can keep things like Trump Tower and whatever else he claims to own and all the money he claims to have. All right, Shake Shack is another one that's trending on the digital platforms right now, and it's not for good reason. It's funny because I talked about Shake Shack a while back in January or so. I tried Shake Shack for the first time. It was fine. I don't understand the big hullabaloo about how good Shake Shack is and stuff. It's about the same as any other fast food restaurant you're going to go to, but costs a little more. It's like Five Guys. Everyone's like, I love Five Guys. It's like, Five Guys is great, but it costs twice as much as getting a double-double at In-N-Out. That's kind of how Shake Shack was. But it wasn't trending because of the food. It was trending because a young lady was taken on a lunch date to Shake Shack by, and I don't know if it's clear that this was like a first date or if this was a couple or whatever it is, and she sat down at the table and started filming and complaining that her date brought her to Shake Shack instead of a fancy restaurant for a lunch date. Now, let's unpack this a little. First of all, it's a lunch date. Okay, Shake Shack is perfectly acceptable. I don't know how we got to this point in society where you can't just take someone. It's hilarious because for those of you that aren't aware, McDonald's, you can actually throw a wedding at McDonald's. Okay, McDonald's has embraced this. Taco Bell also does a similar thing. Taco Bell has done upscale restaurants and all kinds of stuff. McDonald's used to advertise back in the 80s that, oh, take your date to McDonald's. Now, granted, I haven't done it in a long time. I've been married for a very long time, but I remember taking dates to In-N-Out when I was a teenager, and these were not teenagers, but they were not people in their 40s like myself. So keep that in mind. Lunch date. We're not talking about should be fancy. On top of that, she's sitting at the table filming and complaining and showing the food that he purchased for her. And he points out that he spent $50 on the food that's in front of them. She ordered two chicken sandwiches and then proceeds to complain. She didn't complain when he walked her into Shake Shack and said, hey, we're going to have lunch here. No, she waited for the food to come and then decided to film what ended up being a viral video of complaining that it was not an upscale enough place to go for lunch. I think the kids these days say red flag. Lots of red flags all over that thing. Now, the cool thing is, she obviously posted this video hoping that people would have sympathy for her or would be like, yeah, that's ridiculous. You should be taken to some fancy place for lunch and blah, 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 blah. No, it backfired. I'm sure some people were on her side, but the majority of people were saying that's enough of this. There's nothing wrong with going to Shake Shack, especially for a lunch date. Now, you know, if it's like your 10th anniversary or something and it's a dinner date, yeah, maybe avoid Shake Shack. But for the love of God, have you seen the economy lately? There's no reason to complain about being taken out for a meal at a place like Shake Shack. Okay? I mean, you go here in Southern California, I know lots of people, men and women, that would be super excited to be taken to the tasty taco truck that is down the way. In fact, we have it's been like a couple years running in a row, the best taco in Los Angeles, started out as a truck, and now they have like a storefront because they got so popular, and lines down the street. So just because it's not super fancy doesn't mean it's no good. Let's all do better. We can, you know, stop complaining. And honestly, if you want something better, like I said, don't even go into the Shake Shack. Come on now. But that's the world we live in. Speaking of the world we live in, we have yet again, over the past couple days, a viral video of straight-up Nazis marching through another city, this time Nashville. And of course, and you could say, oh, Sean, how do you know they're Nazis? I know they're Nazis because they're flying fucking swastika flags. This isn't black and white anymore. If you're flying a fucking swastika, you're a fucking Nazi. That's how it is. And again, I'm going to point out, and we've been pointing this out for years, our depending on your age, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers fought these motherfuckers in World War II. Ended it. You go to Germany, you cannot fly a Nazi flag. Yet now we live in the United States of America where it has become the norm. We let them go marching through cities with no kind of backlash. And of course, they all cover their faces. These are the same people that complained about wearing a mask when we're trying to get rid of COVID. And now they are wearing masks, marching down the street, promoting hatred and racism. We cannot let this continue. If you see this stuff, I'm not saying get into physical altercations with them, but there is a thing called counter-protesting, and we need to see more of that in these cities. And you could say, well, it's Tennessee, you know, because... And I know Florida, we saw them flying flags outside of Disney World, but this is Nashville. Nashville is not usually known for its Nazis or even its conservatives or its racists. It is a very, I don't want to say liberal city, it's a very progressive city. That's the damn word I'm looking for because of the music scene that's there. Everyone kind of comes together, food, music, all kinds of stuff. All right, moving along, football's over. So this is trending just today. And it is so funny to see the amount of complaining and downright depression that people hit the first weekend after football is over. You know, Super Bowl was last weekend, as I said, so now there's no more NFL football, and people start doing countdowns, and they're like 200 and blah, blah, blah days, and I think it's even less than that until football. But people go on to these social platforms and start complaining, what am I going to do with my Sundays now that football is over? Maybe get a fucking hobby. Other than sitting on your couch and watching football. I enjoy watching football as much as the next person, but it's not something to freak out about. Oh my God, what are my Sundays for now? Your fucking family. Take your kid to the zoo or something. Don't worry about not being able to watch some people run into each other on television. Millionaires run into each other and argue with each other on television. Go do something else with your time, for God's sake. All right, and this one I really want to talk about because I've seen this popping up a lot lately, and I've been saying for years Twitter is just this muck fest and mud throwing and insult slinging and all kinds of stuff, and I'm seeing more and more of it, and it is the arguing on social platforms. Twitter is the worst of them, but I'm seeing it on Instagram and Facebook and all these other platforms now. Here's the thing. Keep in mind, once you choose to pick up an argument with somebody that you don't even know personally on a social platform, again, most importantly, what's the key word there? That you don't even know personally. You might not even be arguing with a person. You could literally be arguing with a robot. And the thing is, nobody has ever come out of and I'm not talking about spirited debates, because granted, I have seen those happen where somebody has a differing opinion and they say, you know, evidence can, but that is like the 1% of arguing that happens on social platforms and digital platforms. That is not the norm. The norm is people start getting more and more angry at each other, and you're never going to come to a conclusion. People start, and that often leads to death threats. And in fact, for those of you that have been fans for many, many, many years, you know, we used to actually do a live stream. It's now a video stream that we post, but we used to do a live stream. And there had been a couple times where random people would jump on the live stream, and I had been threatened. And in fact, some of our hardcore fans, specifically when one happened, somebody had told me to go walk in traffic and had a whole bunch of bad things to say and no real basis for it. I wasn't even doing controversial stuff. Luckily, we had some hardcore fans that reported that, and I just kind of brushed it off, because that's what you're never going to win an argument on a social platform or in a digital platform. And once violence starts to be incited, you got to get out of there, because nobody wins in those situations. And obviously, as we see, violence can pop up at any given time. All right, let's talk a little bit about mental health. My throat is very dry. I love the winter weather. I love the cold weather. I don't do well with the dryness of winter weather. I'm very much like, that's when my hand, and I wash my hands constantly because I'm a bit of a germaphobe, and it's like, oh God. And that's during winter is when everything just dry and ugh, it's gross. And that's kind of what my throat's been doing lately. It was so bad that last night we're getting tangented now because that's what we do. Last night, I always have a water bottle right next to my bed, and usually by morning, like, that thing's toast. I had to get up in the middle of the night and refill it because it's so damn dry, and, you know, the heaters are running. For those of you that live in cold weather climates, you really know that, because it gets so dry in your house because you're constantly running a heater because it's like 0 degrees outside and everything else, and that's what's been going on with me lately. All right, nonetheless, mental health. I want to talk about this, and it is specific to Los Angeles, but I encourage those of you that don't live in Los Angeles to also look into these kinds of things. But something that really, really has made me happy recently about mental health is Los Angeles has launched this Los Angeles County Mental Health Services. They have a call-in line where you can get help, and they can connect you with doctors, physicians, whatever it might be. And that's available 24 hours in crisis services and advice. And obviously, this is there is a line, you know, and trust me, if you've ever had to deal with mental health services, you know, they say if this is an emergency or life-threatening or suicidal, call 911. This is not a substitute for, you know, somebody, your friend or family, you know, standing on top of a building or, you know, whatever. I hate to put that image in people's minds, but you understand what I'm saying. There is a difference here. This is somebody that is just having a rough time and can get resources a lot of times for free. You know, if they connect you with a physician or whatever else, you are going to end up having to pay, hopefully have insurance. But it is such a great thing to see, because like I always say, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have seen this. And on top of that, they've actually been advertising on radio. That's how I first heard about this, was I listened to a little bit of ESPN radio here in Los Angeles. It's very much a pop culture, not so sports focused. And I got to give a big shout out to one of their main radio personalities on there, Steve Mason, who for years has been open with his mental health and mental illness issues as he deals with bipolar disorder. And he has been doing what you call in radio live reads, talking about this and encouraging people that need help to then call up that number. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it's a quick Google search. And like I said, if you're outside of Los Angeles County, these things are probably popping up depending on your county and your city and everything else. So be aware that those resources are out there. It helps to have those sources, and it also helps to diminish that stigma, because especially when you're talking about a sports radio station, and that's always been the thing, is it's a little tougher on men. It's a little tougher for men to admit to having a mental illness or a mental health problem. It's just, you know, a lot of men are conditioned to not be open about things, but then you hear one of your favorite personalities being open about it and talking about it. Hopefully that is encouraging others to do that and reduce the stigma, which is really what we've here at Go Tell It to the Wall have been trying to do for years, and many advocates for mental health have been trying to do for years and over their career, whether they're in that field or not even in that field, but have just dealt with it or have relatives that dealt with it. It's something we just need to be more open about, and we have gotten better about over the past 5, 10, 20, 25 years. But I do want to talk about the other kind of side of this, And this could have gone into digital trends, but I wanted to talk about it from a mental health standpoint because of how detrimental it is. There's a viral video going around where a woman is claiming to have, and I don't know if she actually does or not, and it's like, this is what happens with ADHD and BPD, which is bipolar disorder, attention hyperactivity disorder, all that. We all have heard of ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That's a mouthful, but we'll get it out. And here's the thing, it's this video that's showing her, it looks like a wall, but apparently it's a closet, and she's punching and kicking this closet and putting holes in it and everything else, and it's like, this is what it's like to have ADHD and BPD and all this other stuff. And here's the thing, we need to be open about it. We cannot lie to then get clicks, and this is clearly a woman who set up a camera in the exact spot. This isn't somebody filming somebody who is having a mental illness episode. This is a camera that was set up by one person, and she is clearly doing this for clicks. So as much as I was talking about reducing the stigma, here we have somebody that is adding to the stigma. Because the thing is, most people are going to look at that and realize, no, that you're clearly doing a performance here. And if you want to go ahead and claim like you're doing a reenactment or something, that's fine. But no, this woman was claiming she was having an episode and filmed the whole thing, which is clearly faked and all used for clicks. We talked about this many years ago when people were coming out and saying mental illness is now fashionable and people are leaning on it. It's like, no, it's not. If you've ever dealt with a debilitating mental illness, you know that it's not something to joke about. It's not something to make a performance out of. It's not something to claim to then make yourself famous or more well-known. Anybody who's actually dealing with a mental illness is not doing this. The reason we do it here at Go Tell It to the Wall is to help reduce that stigma. When I first found out I had a serious mental illness, like diagnosed, which was in my late teens, looking back, I had had it for much longer than that, obsessive compulsive disorder, it was so tough to talk about. Now, it is so much easier to talk about it because we've reduced that stigma. But people that are putting out fake videos like this are actually adding to the stigma, and that's not something we ever want to see. So if you see stuff like that, call it out. And fortunately, that's what was happening on a lot of the social platforms, is people were calling out and saying, you clearly set up a camera. You're clearly putting on a performance. This is not a real instance of you dealing with a mental illness. This is you trying to get clicks. And of course, unfortunately, the video still does go viral regardless of how people are reacting to it. Because if people are saying this is fake, that's getting more clicks. If people are saying this is what it's like, that's getting more clicks. It's kind of a double-edged sword. Nonetheless, if you see that kind of stuff, call it out, because that is not beneficial to advancing mental health awareness and reducing, man, I'm having trouble with words today, reducing the stigma around mental illness. So please, please, please do better. All right, on that note, let's get to some positive news here. I mentioned what this was going to be, and this is, this is where we're at. The Orange Menace. Good old Trumpy Trump there. Another civil lawsuit that he has lost. This one, ooh, it's a doozy. He's been ordered to pay $355 million for a civil lawsuit in New York, in the state of New York. And on top of that, he's actually not going to be able to do business in New York. That's why the people were outside of Trump Tower with these signs saying going out of business sale. It's absolutely wild because, We have come to find out that he was nowhere near as rich as we all thought he was back in the 80s and 90s when he was just some rich dude who'd have a cameo now and then or whatever before he became full asshole. Although looking back, we know he was always an asshole. It's just it wasn't as public until he became president, and then all these people came out of the woodworks and, oh, God, it's a whole thing. On that note, fortunately, I've seen a lot of people we're seeing more and more of it, fortunately, that were on his side. You know, back in six, seven years ago, back in 2016, are now like, holy shit, that guy's nuts. We kind of got duped back then, which that is also a positive thing that we're seeing out of it. And I don't know if it's realistic, but of course he does still have his minions of followers. I've seen a couple of GoFundMes pop up. People that probably are having trouble paying their rent are putting up a GoFundMe for a supposedly very wealthy man to pay his legal fees because he fucked up in the state of New York. Oh, you love to see it, Wall fans. You love to see it. Guy's got to be running out of money at this point. And obviously he is, because when we get to Common Sense, we're going to talk about one of his newest ventures. I'm going to have trouble getting through it without laughing because it is utterly ridiculous. But before we get to there, let's talk some parenting. Girl Scout cookie sale still going on. I'm sure many of you out there have kids that are selling Girl Scout cookies or friends, family, whatever, that are selling Girl Scout cookies. I'd like to personally thank any Wall fans that have come to me and asked for to be able to order some cookies. We've sold quite a few. My daughter, and not only is it great because my daughter is reaching her goal of however many boxes she has to sell, but now there's less boxes of cookies in my house. So this is also a good thing because I do get tempted at times, not only to eat the cookies, but it's tough to mop a floor when there's, you know, 40 boxes of Girl Scout. And I'm not talking 40 little boxes. I'm talking the big boxes with multiple boxes of cookies in them. So thank you to everyone that has been supporting not only my kid, but all the Girl Scouts out there, because the Girl Scouts is a great organization. And not only that, but if you're not aware, they refuse to take money or sell Girl Scout cookies to organizations that are anti-LGBTQ and all that kind of stuff. So it is a very much stand-up organization. So thank you to all of you out there that have been supporting, whether it's my kid, my kid's troop, or whatever troop is nearby where you live. It does make quite a difference. And we all know Girl Scout cookies, they're good cookies. They are. They're very good. All right. But on that note, this is something that kills me. And I was talking to another mother from my kid's school the other day. They sent home a spring fundraiser, package or information packet. And it's like, this happened the past like 3 years, ever since my kid first became a Girl Scout. And it comes home and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I'm hitting up all my friends and family trying to get them to buy Girl Scout cookies. And now you want me to sell them cheesecakes and cookies and whatever else kind of fundraiser stuff. And I'm sure if you have kids in Girl Scouts, you've dealt with this. And it's just, and then what happens, and trust me, I used to work with a fundraising company. When I was a DJ, they would pay me to go out to schools and get the kids all hyped up to win prizes and sell and make money for their school. And granted, I understand it does help the school. I'm all for helping the school. But Jesus Christ, there are too many damn fundraisers out there. And I had to tell my kid, she comes home, she's like, I want to get this prize. And I'm like, yeah, you really got to pick. We got to decide what we're going to prioritize. Either you're going to prioritize Girl Scout cookies or you're going to prioritize the school fundraisers. And like I said, I want to support the school. I have found other ways to do it. We have a booster club for my kid's school, and I'm constantly doing volunteer work for that, and we do the restaurant fundraiser. So every time there's a restaurant fundraiser, we go out and we're like, here's a bunch of money, give us food, and give that portion of the money to the school or to the booster club and everything else. So there are other ways to do it, but it is, you're between a rock and a hard place, you know? Although it did crack me up, because one of the things my kid was like, I really want this thing. And my brother-in-law has one, and I don't know how to describe it. It's one of those things that it's like a little floaty thing, and you can kind of, you don't like chuck it, but you let it float to another person. She's like, oh, I really want to get one of those. I said, we have one of those in the garage. You played with it for like a day, and now it just sits in the garage. So I feel for all you other parents out there that are dealing with multiple fundraisers at once, and then the fact that they get these kids all fired up about certain prizes and everything else. As I mentioned, we had this Super Bowl party last Sunday, and you always think clean up after a party and there's food and everything else, and the adult portion of the party, really not much mess to clean up. All the adults that were there were putting things in the trash can. I would say the biggest mess I had was I needed to clean up my Blackstone, because I've had that thing fired up with onions and all kinds of stuff for a good couple hours, so I had to take time to clean that up. The other thing was the recycling bin. It is still quite full right now, because I have a bin by my outdoor bar. And when people are like, where do we put the cans and bottles? Right there. And it's definitely overflowing. But outside of that, the adults were fairly clean. The kids, on the other hand, not so much. So I had a bunch of kids running around my house. And I was really hoping that it would be contained to my kid's room. And somehow that ended up spilling out into my living room. I came in because I spent like the whole afternoon and evening outside. I'm entertaining and cooking and stuff. And I walked in and if I was someone who faints on a regular basis, I would have straight up fainted at that point, because you could barely see my living room floor. You definitely couldn't see my kid's bedroom floor. And then on top of that, it was not contained to just the outside. In my front yard, we have a kumquat tree, or bush, or tree, whatever it is. And this thing goes nuts. I guess winter is like kumquat season, because ever since we've lived in this house, it explodes. I cannot get rid of kumquats quick enough. I'm always like, please, neighbors, take some of these kumquats. For those of you not aware of kumquats, they're orange, but they're like tiny. They're like the size of a grape, and they're orange. And you eat them like with the peel, which, and you know, they're sour, but they're quite tasty. My kid loves them. But all the kids were playing in the front yard, and at one point decided they were going to have a kumquat fight. So much like a snowball fight, except they were picking tons of kumquats off this bush. And trust me, there was probably like 100+ kumquats on this bush, and decided to throw them at each other across my front yard. So as I went out Monday morning, I said, why is the front lawn covered in kumquats? Apparently that was why. So that was a lot of my cleanup, and partly why we didn't shift the Common Sense Sunday to Monday, because I had to do something about my house. Otherwise, I was just I was not going to be in a good place, because I can deal with a little bit of mess. I have a kid. I can get over some of it, but oh my God, that needed to be cleaned up very much so. Although I will say it was very cute. My kid loves giving makeovers. And so I'm standing at the grill, and she's got this like kid makeup, not real makeup. It's, you know, she's also got kid nail polish. And apparently she was dressing up all of her female friends. You know, I don't think any of the boys wanted to get dressed up in these costume dresses. She's been acquiring them over the years. They're either from Halloween, or they're costume ones, or people give them to her. She's got tons of them. And I kept seeing little girls, you know, that I know, friends' kids, walking around outside in these fancy dresses. I'm going, what is going on? And apparently she was just running a whole makeover thing out of her bedroom. But, you know, all in fun. All in fun. And fortunately, I did notice kids were asking their parents, like, hey, can we go get some makeup on our face? Whereas nobody asked if there could be a kumquat fight in my front yard. And one little tip, I you know, it's such a silly thing, but we just recently started this. It's only been a couple weeks. Family game night. My kid is of the age now where she does like to play games, and we've tried to make a point every weekend to take some time and play a game with the whole family. And I know you always hear this, it's game night and blah blah. You always hear the jokes about Uno, people getting into fights over Uno and whatever else, and you know it's all in good fun. But as simple as it is, I do highly recommend it. I think because not only is it good to just take that time to sit down, but depending on the age of your kid, they're learning counting and whatever else it might be from playing certain card games or dice games or board games, all that kind of stuff. So highly recommend you do that if you have some kids at home, because you're taking that time specifically to kind of sit down as a family. And I know we try to do that with dinner, but a lot of times dinner in my house is just chaos. My kid's like, what are we having for dinner? I hate that. And it's like, this was something you loved a week ago. I know other parents can relate on that. So, it's, you know, that's not as peaceful as, hey, pick a game, we're going to sit and play it. You know, unfortunately, my kid is not much of a sore loser, because there was a time when we first started playing games where she was straight up cheating. And not because she, you know, she knew better to an extent, but she didn't like losing at first. Now she has taken to, like, okay, it's okay to lose a game once in a while. All right, let's move along to some common sense here. We had yet another mass shooting. You've probably heard about it in the news. This was on Valentine's Day at the Kansas City football team's victory parade after they won the Super Bowl. And it just adds to the fact that nowhere is safe anymore. You know, and it's terrifying. It's terrifying as a parent. It's terrifying even if you don't have kids, to just think you don't know where there is nowhere to be safe anymore, even in your own home. We've seen situations where even in people's homes where this happens, and this what we're hearing is it all stemmed from an argument, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying when we were talking digital trends. It's not worth getting in these arguments, and trust me, I'm Irish. My mother, she still says it. She said it when I was younger, and she said about me and my father. Oh, they're getting their Irish up, you know. And there is a certain thing to be said for a temper, and I won't say I'm completely not guilty of it. You know, I would never get to that point. I don't tend to start throwing fists or anything, but, you know, you can get me upset. But none of it's worth it. You know, so just remember, before you want to yell at somebody that cut you off on the freeway or get into an argument with someone at a grocery store, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know if they've got a gun on them. You know, you don't know if even a knife. I mean, it's gun violence, and that's the issue. And clearly in this situation, because 22 people were injured, one person unfortunately passed away, And from what I've heard, this did involve a high capacity, not just a handgun situation. But it's just not worth it. Just you got to let stuff kind of slide off. Take stuff with a grain of salt. what other stereotypical sayings can we throw in there? It's never going to be worth it. And here we have 22 people injured, somebody unfortunately losing their life, all over an argument. An argument. When people are out trying to celebrate the team that they follow and they are fans of, winning the ultimate goal for an NFL team. And you can't even go out and do that without the fear of getting shot and killed anymore. And speaking of ridiculousness with guns, I don't know if you've seen this video. It's funny because no one got hurt, but at the same time, it's not funny. There's an officer, I can't even remember where it was, and I probably should have had that with me, but that's not important. They were out investigating something, and not even investigating a shooting, not an active shooter or anything. An acorn fell from a tree, hit a car, and this particular officer thought it was a gunshot. And it's not like he thought it was a gunshot and kind of took cover and called for backup. No, they thought it was a gunshot and then started shooting a gun into the air in the direction of where the acorn came from. An acorn hit a car. I thank God that this officer wasn't on my street because we have a bunch of jacaranda trees on my street. And if you've ever had a jacaranda tree near your house, you know those things are just dropping seed pods like crazy. You hear it. It hits a car. It hits my kid's sandbox with the cover outside. And I'm like, oh, what? Oh, yep. Nope. Jacaranda seed pod again. And just start shooting. We need better training. I mean, you know, and here's the thing. People should recognize that they're not fit to be police officers. And then the people who hire police officers should recognize when people aren't fit to be police officers. I realize that there are officers out there who are put in danger. But an acorn hitting a car? And not only that, but your reaction is to just start shooting at an acorn? They need to be held to a higher standard. And there's no excuse for stuff like that. All right, we're hearing about a boycott coming from truckers, and specifically truckers who are supporters of the Orange Menace. They are threatening to boycott any trucking deliveries going to New York City. And they are threatening this because of that aforementioned lawsuit where the Orange Menace was fined at $355 million. All over that verdict. Here's the thing. We often hear, you can't have it both ways. There's so much hypocriticism going on here because I guarantee those same truckers who are saying, no, we're going to boycott because the Orange Menace was fined in New York, are also ones that say, well, you should have followed the law. Well, truckers, Trumper truckers, that's the law. He had his due process. So there's no excuse to threaten a boycott like this. And it all goes back to this being a cult. Blindly following this orange person, who was clearly never fit to be president in the first place, but since then, we have seen that he's definitely not fit to be president. He's not fit to hold any kind of office for that matter. He probably belongs in an insane asylum. If you listen to the man talk, it's absurd. It's so absurd that, in fact, that's going to move us to our next thing. Because, the guy needs money. He's getting fined like crazy. And we have found out in the past few years that he was never as wealthy as he claimed to be. They have come out with Trump sneakers. And if you want to pick up a pair of Orange Menace Trump sneakers, they're going to run you about $400 to $500. And in fact, apparently this was at like a sneaker convention, which I can't say for sure, but I'm guessing the Venn diagram of sneakerheads and Trump supporters is not a huge crossover. I don't know. I haven't researched this, but that would be my guess based on all the sneakerheads that I know and have run across, ever since sneakers became such a collectible thing and all that. So $400 to $500. And then in fact, there was an auction for a pair of signed, Trump sneakers and some idiot paid $9,000 for a pair of Trump sneakers. And again, the hypocriticism here, I guarantee these same people that are eating up these $400 or $500 sneakers, which is ridiculous for a pair of shoes. Just trust me. I know I always say I've well over 125 pairs of Vans in my house. None of them have ever cost me $400 to $500. The most I've spent on a pair of Vans is like $100. And that's for super limited edition, collectible, blah, 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 blah. $400 or $500 for, and they're ugly too. I've seen pictures of them. But these are also the same people that are complaining about inflation and the economy and everything else because gas went up 10 cents, but somehow have $400 to $500 to spend on a shitty looking pair of sneakers coming from a blatant con man at this point. All right, political flyers in the mail. It's that time of year. I know I said a few episodes ago, I was like, brace yourself. Here comes the political ads and everything else. And I know I've mentioned this in years past. And I don't even care who they're from. I don't. But I go out to my mailbox every... And see, here's the thing is I... Sometimes I'm checking my mail every day. Sometimes I'm not. We don't get a lot of mail. What the hell do you get in the mail anymore? You know, some bills come in the mail. My kid gets some magazines. I don't even get magazines, although somebody must have signed me up for Wired because I had a Wired magazine come the other day, and I was like, where did this come from? I did have a subscription to Wired like 20 years ago. Nonetheless, now over the past few weeks, I go out there, and the thing's just packed full of political flyers, and it's not like, not even, you know, smaller flyers like you if you go to concerts or whatever, you know, people are giving out, and they're, you know, they're like kind of that big. They're not real large flyers. No, these are like gigantic poster-sized flyers that get folded and then completely clog up the mailbox. And I'll tell you, what I do is immediate. I don't even look at them. I don't care what side of the aisle they're from. I don't care who it is. They go straight into the recycling bin. So not only is it a hassle because you can't fit anything in the damn mailbox, these poor mail carriers are having to fold up these giant things to fit in a mailbox, but I guarantee there's plenty of people out there like me that are just throwing them directly in the recycling bin. Because here's the thing. For me, ads, flyers, all that kind of stuff, even people coming and knocking on my door, it was hilarious. I had somebody ring my Nest doorbell the other day, and I walk out, I'm like, hi, you know, I knew they were probably selling something. And he's like, oh, I wanted to talk to you about Kevin De Leon. And I looked at him, I said, not a fan. I tend to not vote for racists, but good luck to you. And he walked off. I said, none of that's going to change my mind. What I do, and this is what you should do if you're a voter, they send out pamphlets. You get official voter guides and stuff that do fit in the mailbox much better. Do your research. Research it on your own. Don't be swayed by a flyer or some dude knocking on your door saying, hey, are you going to vote for blah, blah, blah? No, research it. All that information's out there readily available. Then, based on your research, you vote. You don't vote because of a stupid flyer or somebody coming to your door. And, of course, the waste of paper, like I said. And speaking of waste of paper, I know we always joke about this, and I see it pop up every now and then. Ridiculous Amazon packaging. And it's been happening to us lately. In fact, we get to, and I know it's like Daddy Bezos, I hate supporting Amazon, but certain things you just have to. And, you know, we do the subscribe and save stuff. So paper towels and toilet paper come to the house every month. The past couple months, when, you know, it's like a box of toilet paper and a box of paper towels. It used to be they would just send the box, you know, because inside it's rolls of paper towels are packaged together, rolls of toilet paper packaged together. It's like, fine, it's already in a box. Past couple months, this thing's coming. I get a gigantic box on my front porch, open it up, and it's those two boxes. Utterly ridiculous. Well, yesterday I had it. Like I don't want to say it's more ridiculous. In a way, it's more ridiculous. I needed some Sharpies, so of course it's convenient. And I went on Amazon and I said, okay, I'm gonna get it. This 5-pack of Sharpies. In fact, if you're watching the video feed, I'm holding it up right here. This little tiny 5-pack of Sharpies, that really not fragile or anything, could probably send this in an envelope. Or like those plastic mailers they use. No, I go out on my porch yesterday evening because I knew something had gotten delivered. And I was like, why do I have... And not only that, but I had two boxes because I bought a pack of black ones and I bought a pack of colored ones. At the same time, each of them came in a box. Now, obviously not as giant as the box that's holding the paper towels and paper towels. Paper towels and paper towels. Paper towels and toilet paper. But this is probably a, you know, like... I want to say 2-foot wide box, like a foot deep and like, you know, maybe a foot the other way. Two of these boxes, each of them having a small package of Sharpies. One of them even had bubble pack in it and the other had extra paper, you know, that's supposed to protect things. And I walked in the house. I tend to not bring the packages in the house. I open them, I bring the stuff in because then the packaging goes straight in the recycling bin. It was so ridiculous that I walked in and I said to my wife, I said, look at this box and look what's in it. a small pack of Sharpies. First thing she says, she's like, I think that could have gone in an envelope. So that was my thought exactly. But it's so ridiculous that I had to come in and show her. And here I am using paper straws to save the environment. And Daddy Bezos out there just sending stuff that's ridiculously small in huge packaging. Speaking of ridiculousness, Apple Vision Pro. I know I always joke about Apple and how much I'm not an Apple user. But this thing's come out. And I don't know if you've seen the videos. It is utterly ridiculous watching people walk around the street with the with this thing on their face and they're motioning their hands around. And I've even seen a couple videos of people driving Teslas with this damn thing on their face. So unnecessary. And honestly, if you want to have one, like, that's fine. Have it in your home. And I know for a fact that Apple says it's not meant for walking around. It's meant for sitting or standing and using, not walking around the city and stuff. But the utter ridiculousness of seeing people do this. And my favorite is the meme going around where it shows a couple people wearing those. And then it's the Wall-E people in their chairs because they can't, you know, they have constant, they got so heavy that they couldn't walk anymore. And they need constant entertainment. You know, we're attached to our phones anyway. I don't see the appeal of walking around with one of these headsets. And on top of that, it costs $3,500. $3,500 to walk around looking like an idiot. And nothing against it. If you have one and you like using it at home, that's fine. Don't go walking around or, for the love of God, don't go driving with it. I don't care if your Tesla is self-driving. That is not a good thing to be doing. All right, one more thing I want to talk about. And we're going to go over a little bit of time here. It's something I have avoided for months. And not and at first, because I mentioned it when everything first happened back in October, whenever it was, and that is what's going on in Israel and the Gaza Strip and Palestine right now. And, you know, this is something that's been happening since I was a kid. And I said back then, I said, I'm not educated enough to really speak on this. And I'll be honest with you, Wall fans, I'm still not educated enough to really speak on the political side of this thing. But what I have come to see, and it's been building up with me, is seeing the videos of the carnage coming out of the Gaza Strip. Children being killed. Families being decimated. Hospitals being bombed. I don't care what side you are on politically when it comes to this and who has the right to what. You cannot just sit back and watch this kind of violence and not feel for the people that are stuck there in Gaza. This is a genocide. We are seeing a genocide unfold before our very eyes. And really, what most people are asking for is not even an end to it, but a ceasefire. And for those of us, regardless of where you live around the world seeing it, if you look at that and you don't think that a ceasefire is absolutely needed, then there's no getting to you from a compassion standpoint. Because to see these videos, to see these pictures, to see the demolition that is happening, it's heartbreaking. So as much as I've avoided it, I'm taking the time now to tell you, and you should have known where I fell on this anyway. This is genocide. It's bloodshed. It's murderous. And there's no excuse for it whatsoever. And what pisses me off the most is the people running around and claiming anti-Semitism because we don't want to see people murdered in their homes, in hospitals, in shelters, in places they were told to retreat to be safe from the gunfire and the bombing. That's not anti-Semitism. That's human fucking compassion. And we need a fucking ceasefire right now. We cannot watch an entire ethnicity of people be wiped off the map because of a few terrorists. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, 9/11 was so much better in the response there. But imagine if imagine if the United States just completely wiped Afghanistan off the face of the earth. That's what's happening right now with the Palestinians. And nobody should look at that and say, oh, well, that's justified. And if somebody tells you it's anti-Semitism, you tell them to shut the fuck up. Because I don't care what ethnicity you are, there's no excuse for that. And we need a ceasefire, and we need more and more people speaking up about it. And if anybody comes at you saying you're anti-Semitic and all this other stuff, you shut them the fuck up. It's disgusting. Have compassion. Children in hospitals. No food, no water. All because one side is claiming they're going after terrorists, when in fact, they're ethnically cleansing the Palestinian people. It's disgusting, wall fans. And I hate to say it, but on that note, we're going to move along to entertainment news. But now you know how I feel. And if honestly, if you don't share the same opinion, this is probably not the podcast for you. All right, entertainment news. I've been realizing over the past few, really for a long time now, but I've been realizing over the past few weeks how old I'm getting. I scroll through some social media things and I see these supposedly famous people, and apparently it's streamers. Like, that's the thing. We've all moved away from television and everything else, and we streamers, and finger quotes, streamers, which is like you what used to be YouTubers or TikTokers or whatever. We'll call them all streamers now. We're like the most famous people in the, you see, oh, this and that and this. And even with the All-Star Dunk Contest, there's some guy named Kai that's supposed to be really famous, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And in fact, on Friday, I'm sitting in the studio. My wife and I are both working, finishing up some work, and I'm like, oh, the All-Star Celebrity Game's coming up. So I put it up on the computer because I'm just finishing up some work for the day, and I'm like, oh, let's see what kind of stars are out there. And they're introducing people, and I'm like, who is that? Who is that? Now, there was a few, like, professional athletes, you know, football players. I'm like, okay, I know who that is. There's like all these, and I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. And my wife's doing the same thing, and her, for her, it was even worse because she doesn't even know who the football players are. It just makes me feel really, really old. Like, streamers. And I see these names pop up on social, and I'm like, who is this? And it's fine if you're into that, but it just makes me feel really, really old. Like, when you're younger, you're like, I'm never going to grow up to, and I'm not, if that's fine, if that's what you're into. I'm not like the get off my lawn guy, but I always said, like, I'm never going to be out of the loop. And now I look back, I'm like, I don't know what kids are into these days. It's just the strangest thing to me. I will say one thing that I'm into, and I know I mentioned I didn't get to watch much of the Super Bowl. I went back and watched some of the funny commercials. The Christopher Walken commercial was very funny, but I did make a point during the game, stepped away from the grill for a few minutes, and I shushed everybody that was in my yard for the party, and I said, shh, everybody be quiet for my man crush. And that was the newest Deadpool trailer. For those of you that have listened for a long time, you know Ryan Reynolds is my man crush ever since Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. That's how long I've been a fan of Ryan Reynolds. But that trailer, whew. And I know I said before, if you remember, I was kind of worried about this whole multiverse thing, and I'm still going to have trouble wrapping my head around it, but goddamn, I cannot wait for that movie to hit theaters, and I'm probably going to take my ass to the theater for that one, because I saw the first two I saw in theaters, and I have them on Blu-ray. I'm going to have to do that for Deadpool. And if you haven't seen the trailer, oh my God, it is so funny. It is classic Deadpool, classic Ryan Reynolds. And this isn't a spoiler or anything, because the name of the movie is Deadpool and Wolverine, and he got Hugh Jackman reprising his Wolverine role. All right, last thing I want to leave you with, and actually my shirt is appropriate for this episode because I am wearing my Up the Drowns shirt. This is one of their more recent designs. I picked this one up at Punk Rock Bowling last year, and I've talked about the Drowns many times over the years. In fact, if you remember my top albums of 2020, my number one album for 2020 was Under Tension by the Drowns. There's actually an Under Tension sticker behind me, if it's hard to see, but for those of you who are watching the video. This past Friday, they released their most recent album called Blacked Out, and it is an absolute, and here, if you have not checked it out yet, and you're a fan of punk rock, or just rock in general, make sure you're checking out their newest album, Blacked Out. And the best way to describe it is the first song, which is called Banger, because this album is an absolute banger. For those of you that aren't, see, this is where I feel less old. I'm like, for those of you that don't know, that means it's awesome. that's how we refer to some songs and albums and everything, depending on kind of what music you're into. It came out Friday, like I said, the first track describes it. And this one's extra interesting. And I will give you a little inside info, as we saw the Drowns up in Ventura a few weeks ago, and I recapped that show a little bit. Rev, who is the front man for the Drowns, said, and we knew this. He said, you know, we're trying to branch out a little bit and inject a little more rock instead of just punk rock. And you can tell from this album that is definitely what they're doing. They still have that punk rock roots. This isn't like a complete change where you see with some bands. This is just a little bit of a shift to kind of a broader audience. And we knew that coming in based on one of their recent singles that came out called Subculture Rock and Roll. And I think that would be one of the best ways to describe the album Blacked Out. And like I said, it's not completely abandoning their roots. I've been listening. I own all of their albums. I enjoy all of their albums. It is just fun to kind of see them not even shift is the wrong word. Expand into a more rock as opposed to just a punk rock feel to it. Now, it obviously, they are always going to live by that punk rock ethos, which is very important to me and very important to many people out there who are in that scene in that community. But again, Blacked Out just came out Friday. It's streaming everywhere. You can purchase it on YouTube Music or iTunes. I purchase all my digital albums through iTunes and then drop them into YouTube Music because that's what I have on my phone and everything else. And of course, you can pick it up on vinyl and physical media through Pirates Press Records, which is their record label, and it's easy to find. Just Google Pirates Press Records, and you can pick it up on vinyl. I'm sure they have CDs and stuff as well, and they have some new merch that came out to go along with the album. So make sure you are checking out The Drowns, Blacked Out. And if you've never heard of The Drowns, go back into their catalog and check out from their very first album all the way up to their most recent one that just came out this past week. And you're in for an absolute treat. I cannot recommend The Drowns enough. And yes, I am biased because they are all very good friends. But you're missing out if you are not listening to The Drowns, and especially with their newest album, which is, as I said, an absolute B-A-N-G-E-R banger. So check it out. All right, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Oh, we went so much longer than I anticipated, but it happens because when we don't record for a couple weeks, there's just so much content, and then we get into it, and then I have to rage about some things, and that's how it is. Nonetheless, schedule-wise, we should be back next week, same wall place, same wall time. But again, if you want to get those updates, make sure you're following our social platforms, facebook.com/gotellittothewall, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, or @gotellittothewall. My own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, SoCalSean. And of course, our official website, which is SeanO'RourkeLive.com. All of those places, platforms, whatever you want to call them, will keep you updated on new episodes, new content, new stuff coming in the studio and all that good stuff. And of course, if you want to support us financially, check out our Patreon link from SeanO'RourkeLive.com, as well as our merch link directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. All right, like I said, that is going to do it. This has been episode 123 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And until next time, Wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, remember, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.